There's no heart that's too dark or too mean that the blood of Jesus can't wash it white, make it clean, and make it right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so, you know, talking about getting involved in doing things, you know, we need to get some zeal in our spiritual life. You know, that when we're running for the Lord and we've got things headed in a direction, we need to have some enthusiasm about it. We need to have some zeal. We need to be happy about that. God has got a plan and a purpose. And it isn't for people to stand up here on stage and to minister or whatever. When God calls you from wherever you're at, then we're to have some zeal and enthusiasm about the things that He has for us.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be the light in the world. And I realize that we all, so many times we can get caught up in a rut. And we don't have that power or that enthusiasm that can come. Because we think, well, I'm just this or that. But you are there because of what God has planned and purposed for you to be there. Doesn't matter what you do in life, what your job, what your calling, whether you're a housewife or a CEO or just whatever. Doesn't matter where you do or where you go every day. There are people that need Jesus. And there are people that need to see the enthusiasm and the life that we have for Jesus. You know, we can't be going around, woe is me.
That's right.
Because we have something that they need, and that's Jesus. We have the washed heart. We have the right standing that God gave us. You know, we don't want to get caught up in the fact of whether we're worthy or we're not worthy. Because I can tell you, we're not worthy. God is worthy.
Amen.
Jesus is worthy. He's the one that made the way.
Yes,
so we don't get ourselves in between it and try to rationalize it, because rationale won't get you anywhere except confusion. It's all about what God did and what Jesus did. They had a plan before the foundation of the earth to set forth that knowing that we were going to fail as men and knowing that there had to be a way, and Jesus was the way. He said, I am the way. And so, in so doing that, things were set into motion. The church was set to begin as we know it today. God said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come unto the Father but by me. We were told to go out and spread the gospel. The command was to go forth and make disciples of the people, make students of them, make believers, and that they should repent and be baptized and be lifted up. And that's the call.
Yeah.
But the call is to be done with enthusiasm and zeal so people know that it's real, that we're not just in a rut and down in the mire ourselves, barely making it. Yes, I know that we have times and troubles like everyone else. There is no day that trials and tribulations may not present themselves to you. We may have financial problems, health issues, family issues. We may have everything that you can think of. But we have something that makes us the overcomer. We have Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to present to the people. That's what we're to take out into this world. And you know, I haven't accomplished all of those things. I'm working on them. But you know, when this thing began to work on me and the Lord's hand began to talk, to put His pressure on me and to begin to He began to speak to me. You know, I didn't respond positively in any way for a very long time. Because for one thing, I wasn't sure. And for one thing, I know me. You know, and I'm far from perfect. I don't want you rattling my closet door, because you'll find out that I'm very much human. Okay? But God kept on, and He said, it's not about you. And so it's not about you, it's about God. It's about God and what He wants to do with each and every one of us.
Thank you, Lord.
And where we're at today. In the beginning, when the church began, they were there to see the Lord ascend. It says I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1, and we'll do some scripture there. And we'll see how this plays out for today. All right. But everything in this about it is the church when it began. When the church began, it began with spirit and power.
Yeah.
It began with spirit and power. We are to be empowered by the Holy Spirit that comes to be with us when we are born again. And we use that power and we develop it through the Word. When we want to become stronger and more assertive and more assured of ourselves, we go to the Word. Because the Word will build us up. You know, we've all had careers in whatever we do in life. And after we worked at them a few years, we had a certain confidence that we were good at that. And we could accomplish the things that we were supposed to do through the day. And then as you begin to put more time in it, lo and behold, you could move along throughout your day, accomplish your work, and your mind would be somewhere else in other things. We can multitask. If we want to be confident and conscious of the Lord every day in our life, we get to know Him better, we walk with Him closer, and we can go about our day and we can be aware of the Lord at all times. So that when He speaks to us, that we will be ready to respond, that He will be able to allow to work through us to accomplish some deed that He may have. It may not be a mighty deed. Can you remember back in the 60s and the 70s and watching Billy Graham on TV? Thousands of people gathered. All they had to do was advertise. And then he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would preach salvation and the coming kingdom in the time that's come, when the kingdom comes. And what would people do? They would realize the need in their life. And they would stand up and respond. And why was that? It was just one man. You know, we weren't at a time where there was a lot of Jesus is in the house stuff and all that. They had just good word and some singing and praise and bringing the word to the people. But with the word was the conviction. Yeah. With the word was the Holy Spirit that said there was a need, that there was something in the life of these people that were missing. And they were drawn there maybe because they didn't even know why. How many people do you think that you could gather up and have maybe 50% of them get up out of thousands and come forward to make a decision for Christ?
Wow. Please, Lord, today.
We need that today.
Yes, we do.
But, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to move in.
Amen.
And to bring that. That's where it's all going to take place. It's all about the blood of Jesus. If we want these black hearts washed, if we want these mean spirits made right, then it's about Jesus. And so, you know, we have had that experience. And we move through life. We struggle. We have things that we deal with. But we have God to lean on. We have the Lord there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can depend on Him every day. There are so many people in this world today that we come in contact with that don't know nothing about God. And I don't know if don't know nothing is proper English, but it gets the message across.
Sure does.
We need to be bold. We need to get in one accord. What happened in Acts 1? Let's just go. It says in chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his death and burial and resurrection and the things that happened on the cross, he appeared to them for 40 days with infallible proofs. You can go back and you can find a lot of different scripture that gives you the pertaining to this. I've been fortunate. My daughter has put an app in my telephone and it is very good, except I don't have time to fumble through it to bring up a lot of scriptures. I can do it at home and it seems to work good. But up here, I don't think my finger is going. It's a little bit shaky right now, so I'm not going to attempt to touch it. So, he had many infallible proofs. There was no doubt that Jesus died and was buried and he rose and he spent 40 days in the presence of the people. And so, before then, we go on. It says in chapter 1:4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. That promise is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the strengthener, the one who is our advocate, the one who will stand along beside us, the one who says, when you step out and do what I want to do, when you've gone as far as you can go, the Holy Spirit is going to pick it up and take it on. That's what we need. That's where we need to be. They were in one accord to receive this. And in one accord means they were gathered and assembled in one place, but they were of one mind. And that the time for the coming of the Holy Spirit was near. I'm sure they did not understand completely what was getting ready to take place in their life and the change inside of them that was getting ready to come.
Right.
But when the time came, they were there. There was vessels. There was 120 gathered together in the beginning of the church. And in that, in doing all of that, there was such a ruckus it raised in the community that other people came to hear what was going on and to see what was happening. And all of them had various ideas and all of them had different assumptions of what it was. You know, some thought they were drinking and got drunk and so on. You know, I mean, it was... But what had happened was the Holy Spirit came to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, it was on Pentecost. And Pentecost isn't a particular denomination of church where everybody starts speaking in tongues and jumping pews. But if that's what they want to do and they feel led by the Spirit, get with it.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
It wasn't that day for that. Pentecost was the 50th day. And it was the day that was designated for the coming of the Holy Spirit upon His people. God did that. That's right. And so on that day, and we'll go ahead and go all the way to, we'll jump over to chapter 2 of Acts. It says, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Yes, they were.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all of the house where they were sitting. It did not come in quietly. It did not come in a whisper.
Wow.
It came with power.
Wow.
It came with the power that was going to transform the world that we live in today.
Yeah.
It came with power. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like the fire set upon each of them. They each and every one were touched.
Wow.
They were touched with the mighty power of God. In a mighty way. Because it was going to take the power of God to move ahead and do what needed to be done for the church.
Thank you,
that same Holy Spirit of that day is the same Holy Spirit of 2015. That's the same Holy Spirit that's looking to touch each and every one of us. We may not hear the wind because it's already come. It's here. We may not see the fire and the cloven tongues. But we can feel the power when it comes on you. You can feel the power when you have need to step out and touch people around you, whether no matter where you're at the grocery store, at the job, if it permits, you don't want to take advantage of your employer, or anywhere that you may be. That power is available. And that's what the Holy Spirit, He said, He's the one that walks along beside us. And He will be there to step out and do the work that needs to be done for us as the willing vessels. So, and then it goes on to tell them that they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. They were devout men, and they were out of every nation under heaven. And in verse 6 it says, now when this was noised abroad and multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language.
Wow.
All of these people who came there from different parts of the country, different places. These Galileans, these ones who were touched with the Spirit, were able to speak in the Spirit the language these people understood at that time. They touched them. They were able for them to be able to hear, to spread the word. Now, I'm not telling you I can go to Mexico and start speaking Spanish unless the Lord was to lay that on me.
That's right.
But these men here were empowered with such a power. Such a power that it gathered the people of the community together.
Yeah.
And it says, and they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans?
Wow.
Well, Galileans weren't the best educated people in the world. You know, one of the things when the Lord was dealing with me a little bit about, you know, it's kind of hard to, me being like a preacher thing, you know what I mean? But, you know, when He was dealing with me about trying to get involved in this, I said, well, Lord, I think I was like 57 or 8 then. And I said, I don't really want to go to ministry school. Or, you know, I don't, what's this going to do, you know? And he said, just step out.
There you go.
You know? I mean, these are things, you know, it sounded like me talking to me in my own mind. You know, it didn't, I don't know what Jesus sounds like, but he sounded a lot like me, reasoning with myself inside myself. And I would propose a question, or I'd propose a little roadblock, and he would then give me an alternative or an answer around it.
There you go.
And so it is these days, for you and I and anyone else, when we are called to God to be born again, to be translated from darkness into light, that we're then to step out with the power of the Holy Spirit and let our lives be that which will be pleasing to God. And, you know, I think back, there's days I'm not real pleasing to God. I'm not real pleasing to some of the people around me for some reason. You know, I want to be. I want to be. You know, because, I mean, it can fill your mind with, like, you know, really, am I? Can I be this way and be this way? Well, you know, no, I can't. But I'm a work in progress.
Yes, right.
And all I can do is, just like any of you, I can take this word and begin to try to transform myself to a more consistent, Christ-like person because of Him living inside of us. That's what we do. None of us can be affected and say we're not worthy. No, we're not. But God is, see? It's not about us. It's about what He did. And we have to make sure that we don't get caught up in some kind of doubt or unbelief about where we're at. Because God is where we're at. You accept God as your Savior, and then you're done. You can't unaccept Him, because He's not going to pitch you out with the bathwater. You're good because of Him. We need to understand that confidence and that boldness so that we can move ahead. If we have a day when it seems like we're failing a little bit, we need to know that we can regroup, take it to the Lord, and start out again with some more of that good Holy Spirit power that's available for us to work in. And so, anyway, it goes on and it'll tell you all about where these guys were coming from and where they lived, I mean. And so they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means all this stuff? You know, others mocking said, well, these men are full of wine. Well, then Peter gets up and he's going to preach a sermon to them, and it's going to change the hearts of at least 3,000. Later on in here, he's going to preach another sermon, 5,000. The church is going to be added to, in just a short period of time, to 8,000 souls added to the church. But Peter, standing up in verse 14 with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. For there is no drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and they ain't had time if they were leaning that way. But this is that which has spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I know some old men dreaming dreams.
Amen.
You know, I mean, they're older than me. I'm kind of an old man in a way. But I've heard them tell, they're dreaming dreams.
Amen.
Yeah. Dreaming dreams of heaven. And I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
That is what we're about. That is where we need to be. That is what God wants. For us to stand up and tell people, if you believe, not just believe, but if you believe, have the Spirit of God touch you. And then when that Spirit touches you, you know you're being called.
Yes.
Oh, today is the day it says of salvation.
Yes. Yes.
Today. And so, In 22 it says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." He tells them, God approved him in front of you by all the signs and wonders. You've seen it. It was right in front of you. And then he goes on to say, "Him delivered, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified this, slain this man Jesus." They had him before him. They didn't recognize what they had. But now, see, of course, if they had known what was going to happen, then they would have never crucified him. "Who God had raised up, and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding in it." And then it goes on in 25 and says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
Wow. Jesus.
Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance."
Yes.
"Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day."
Amen.
We know that David is in a sepulcher. Yes. Jesus has risen. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ and sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses."
Yeah.
They've all witnessed the resurrection. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he is, saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand."
That's right.
"He said, until I make thy foes the footstool, until his enemies are made his footstool. Therefore let not this house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ."
Amen.
And then it goes on right here. "And now when they heard this, they were pricked," or they were cut in their heart, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call."
We're part of that.
The word goes out with power and boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is cut. And the old is opened up. And the word goes in, and the spirit goes in. And the heart becomes new. Life is changed. God set us up for a plan and a purpose. You know, each and every person here, it doesn't make any difference. We can touch one life. You may not see the results of that. You may not even know it. But it is all about going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be together looking for the Holy Spirit to come down upon this place. Shawnee has a need. Liberty has the ability to touch that need through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm excited to think about
Wow.
what's out there. You know, how many years did I walk in indifference
Wow.
to a lot of things? You know? I mean, you know, it's Jesus is not 4 days late, he's right on time. So I can't live in the past. I can't say, oh, you know, I could have done something if I'd have been a better person, or if I'd have known a little more about Jesus. And, you know, no, that's all. You can't bring that up. Can't live on that. Can't live with that plaguing you and dragging you down. But we can take today We can begin to build today. We can begin to put something together today that will bring us to a new tomorrow and a newer tomorrow, a stronger tomorrow, a better tomorrow because of Jesus Christ. Let's put Him here in such a way. Let's let the Holy Spirit move on us in such a way that we just walk and it just flows off of us.
Yes.
Somebody might get close enough and just splash on them.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know?
That's the way it should be.
Oh, Father, touch me.
Yeah.
I need this. I want it. I desire it. The church began in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Can't go any other
the
way.
Church began with the power. The people were touched because of the power of the Spirit to go out and touch the souls and touch the lives of those people and to make the Word truth in them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing what's there to be done. When the church began, it could not have begun any other way than when it was here. You know, and then, of course, in Acts, it goes on and talks about how they healed a person, how they went up to the gate. And then they were arrested for doing good. How much is that today? Where are we at today?
Really?
We're getting ready to feel persecution probably like we've never known. America, we have been good so far. We have been good so far. We've tasted a little. In a minute way. I don't know. You know, my prayer is Psalms 91. That the Lord is my refuge and my fortress and my God, in Him will I trust. And I will move forward with that over speaking over myself and my family and those around me.
Amen.
Because that is the way we'll move forward in power and might, is knowing that we have that boldness based on God being our surrounding. You know, darkness is pushing closer and closer in our personal spaces and everything we do. And the only thing that pushes back darkness is light. And so we have to be that light. When the Lord set this thing in motion, He knew that it had to be all by Him and all by Jesus and all by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. And so Jesus, when He left them with the words and telling them, you'll go out and you'll make disciples of my people. And they will repent and they'll be baptized. They shall be saved.
Yes.
That's the commission for each and every one of us. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. We can do it with a lot of different kind of music. We can do it with a lot of different, maybe some programs out there. But the program better be based on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The music better be surrounded by the Spirit of God and based on Him. You know, to get the effect, because it's all by the power of God. Today is the day. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit would love to move in and settle on each and every one of us in such a way that we will never be the same again. These men were never the same again.
That's right.
I mean, they went up to the gate and they said, what did they say? Silver and gold have I none. And it didn't matter because that guy didn't need silver and gold. He needed healed. He needed to rise and walk. And my goodness, by the time they were done, another 5,000 people came to the Lord.
Wow.
Signs, wonders, miracles, they all play a part. Everything plays a part. But it's all fashioned because of Jesus Christ and because of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Without that, we have nothing. Without that, we won't move ahead. But I know that the Holy Spirit is waiting to burst forth in a way that we have probably never experienced before. You know, we don't have to feel anything. It's by faith that we move through this world and everything that we are. But sometimes, you know, you can feel a shaking, a quivering in your spirit. God will give you an opportunity once in a while and you go, what's that? And you just get kind of nervous and start, oh, it's the Spirit of God, you know. And it may take you a minute to recognize it. It shouldn't take us any time. We should know immediately when the Spirit of God moves us for whatever reason. Today, if there's anyone that needs salvation, I'm going to close now.
Amen.
Today is the day for that. Today's the day that we make individual decisions to be corporately in one accord for the Holy Spirit to move and to come on this place and the light and the fire to shine so that dark, mean hearts can be washed with the blood and made righteous before God Himself. Because it isn't up to what people look like to me is not the decision. It's all about what they look like to God.
Amen.
And He's the one that makes the difference. He's the one that changes. He's the one that does the cleaning up. But let's take it to Him. Let's accept that today. Let's make a determination in our hearts that the Spirit of God can move any way He needs to move in this body.
Amen.
And we will see the changes in the community. We'll see the changes in our own life.
Yeah.
I need to start here.
Amen.
And then when it starts here, then it'll make a difference somewhere else outside there. So God bless each and every one of you today.
Yeah.
We're going to have a verse of song. If there's any